ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओके, अन्विक्षिक्या शोकमोहो दम्भं महद् उपाशया योगान्तरायान् मौनेन हिंसां कामाद्यनिहाय। अन्विक्षिक्या शोकमोहो दम्भं महद् उपाशया योगान्तरायान् मौनेन हिंसं कामाद्यनिहाय। अन्विक्षिक्या, by liberation upon material and spiritual subject matters. Shoka, lamentation. Moho, and illusion. Damban, false pride. Mahat, Vaishnava. Upashaya, by serving. Yoga Antarayan, obstacles on the path of yoga. Monena, by silence. Himsam, envy. Kama Adi, for sense gratification. Anihaya, without endeavor. Translation: by discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. Wow. Purport. If one's son has died, one may certainly be affected by lamentation and illusion and cry for the dead son. But one may overcome lamentation and illusion by considering the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Jatasya hi dhruvo mityor, dhruvam janma mritasya cha. Who knows that one? Anybody know it? Very important verse. As the soul transmigrates, one who has taken birth must give up the present body, and then he certainly must accept another body. Simple philosophy. For one who is born, death is certain. For one who dies, birth is certain. So why worry? Right? Of course, we might worry about a lot of people now because their next birth is going to be not very pleasant. For devotees, if there is another birth, it'll be a good one. But if we're trying to be practice our whole life, then Krishna takes us. We don't have to worry anymore. We won't even know of such a thing. The spiritual world, they don't know about birth and death. It doesn't exist. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Dhiras Tatra Namuyate, one who is dhira, or sober, who is learned in philosophy and established in knowledge, cannot be unhappy over the transmigration of the soul. Om Agana Timirandasya Nidanjana Shalakaya Chaksuna Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajja Jatam Sahagana Raghunath Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Paschacha Desatarane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namane Maru Jojala Premaja Shri Rupa Nuga Bhakti Da Shri Gora Karunishakta Vigrahaya Namostute Namo Varsha Vanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Namaste Gauravane Pracharane Rupa Nuga Viruda Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harane Namo Gora Kishoraya Sachid Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Visambode Padambujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachit Ananda Namane Shigora Karunashakti Rupanuga Varayate Gauravirbhave Bhume Stvam Nirdeshta Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarvaboma Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vanshakalpa Churubhis Cha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tuishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sudato Pangor Mama Mandir Matergati Mat Sarvasya Padambojo Shri Shri Radha Madana Mohana Divyad Kalpadrumada Shimanrat Nagara Singhasanasto Shri Shri Radha Govinda Devo Prestalibi Sevimano Smarami Shimanrasa Dasarambi Vamsivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Sanaragopi Gopinatha Shri Estunaha Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishadi Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Tat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shigarundina Tarane. Okay, so thank you for coming. I apologize, I'm not a big scholar. I don't know all kinds of intimate leelas and don't know so many slokas. But we do know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have to try to surrender to do that, like it says here, by serving the great devotees, which is stated over and over again. Lord Chaitanya states it, I think, three different times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very similar verses. Vaishnav Seva Nama Sankirtan Dui Pabe Shigra Shri Krishna Charan. It puts Vaishnav Seva first, serving the devotee. And Seva is not just some show or kowtow, it means with great respect, because you really feel that this is the right, you know, you really know this is the way to get to Krishna. So we have deity seva, Vaishnava seva, guru seva, very important, most important for spiritual progress, a humble state of mind, then nama sankirtan, and then dui pabe, only these two things only. Shigra. Hindi speakers know what that means? Huh? You know? No Hindi speakers here today because Gopal Krishna must be giving a Hindi class. Shigra, like Subhasa Shigram, means quick, fast. My godbrother Sridhar Maharaj, when he was preaching, you know, and seeking some donations, he would say, Subhasa Shigram, if it's auspicious, do it quick. Don't hesitate. Surrender to Krishna. Yeah, it's a good idea. At least try to surrender. Just say, okay, I know this is what I have to do, and Krishna, please help me. Balaram, please help me. Everybody, please help me. Because we need help. We need a guide. So by discussing spiritual knowledge, we can conquer lamentation and illusion. Most people are living in lamentation and hankering. I lost this, I had that, I lost my youth, I lost my money, I lost my job, whatever, crying. Living in the past, I suffered, I was abused, and hankering. I want this, I want that. If I have this, that will make me something. And many are just thinking, you know, they want even different bodies. So they will get many different bodies. But an illusion, think, you know, that's one of the six enemies that we see. We think we're the body. Krishna is very Maya, very tricky, and she's bewildered almost everyone, even most of the human beings. They think, I'm this body. So by serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. Demons are proud. Dumbo, Darpa, Bhimanena. These are demons. They're arrogant, they're proud. I have more money than everybody else. I'm bigger and stronger. I'm more famous, more beautiful. And these things block one's spiritual progress. By remaining silent, that doesn't mean like a vow of Mona necessarily, that many people do that. When I was first seeking something, I wasn't even sure what, but there was one Baba, and he claimed, I was Rama, I was Krishna, I was this one, I was that one, now I am this one, me. And he had this Mona vow. He supposedly, you know, didn't talk, but he had a little board and he would write, I want this, I want that. So he was communicating. But real silence means always talking about Krishna, always chanting the holy name, no material noise, no interference. The Mayavadis say like a clay pot, if it's empty, then you can play it like a drum, right? But if it's full, it doesn't make any noise. So therefore, if you're full of spiritual knowledge, then you don't talk, you don't chant, you don't talk about Krishna, you're silent. But that's not according to Krishna. Krishna says devotees are always talking about me, always chanting my name. And then this last one is a very good, important one. In my position, I get questions a lot, how to give up envy, how can we stop envy? So here's one way, giving up sense gratification. Because if I don't want anything material, then I won't be envious of people who have it. Right? If I'm lusty and I want this car, I want this beautiful wife, I want this beautiful face or whatever, then I'm going to be envious of anyone who has whatever I want. Why didn't I get that? You know, what kind of cheater was that person? Envy, and it burns up. They used to say when I was a kid, you get green, turn green with envy. Sick, disease condition. But they use it in advertising. I haven't seen this one for years, but for many, many years there was one Indian television. That was before Sony and all the other ones came in. And the signboard said, if you have this television, all your neighbors will be very envious of you. You will be the supreme person in the neighborhood. And they use that. I've seen it in other ads also. But if people are envious of you, then you get sick from, they're cursing you, you know. It's dangerous. But people are thinking, I'm very proud, everyone's envious, everybody wants my position. Then they get worried, like Indra is always worried somebody might get his position. So some yogi is very austere, tries to knock him down. If some king is doing a lot of yajnas, he breaks it up. Fearful. So by giving up sense craving, you can conquer envy. There's another way also. Prabhupada was here. The first class he gave in this room, the evening after installation. So it was a very exciting time. The temple wasn't really completely finished. There was many loose ends. So, like this fan was broken, and it was going ka-chunk, 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 really loud. And Prabhupada said, "Turn it off." Nobody knew where the switch was. Devotees were running around like, "Finally, it's back there inside somewhere." And then Prabhupada said, "We think that because we have a fan, we're not suffering." Right? Like many people may be in their room now and thinking, I have air conditioning, I'm not suffering, like all those poor people. But why do you have a fan? Why do you have air conditioning? Why do you have hospitals and doctors and pharmacies? Because you are suffering. Right? If you weren't suffering, you wouldn't need those things. You wouldn't care about them. Everybody's suffering. So anyway, then he wanted to read something, Bhagavatam, and nobody could find that particular book. So he said, okay, give me Bhagavad Gita. Then he opened to chapter 9, and he said, by reading chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, you can become free from envy. So if anybody's worried that they might be envious, we recommend try this, chant, read chapter 9 every day for a week or a couple of weeks or your whole life. And because it's describing very much the glories of Krishna, which no one else could ever have, you know, right? Especially starting from verse 4 and then maybe up to about 8 or 9, you know. He's, everything is within him, but he's outside of every, inside of everything, and you know, all these things are over and over again. Krishna's telling his own position, which nobody else can possibly have that. That's why envious people just say that's just not, there's no God and there's no person, it just happened and all these things, because I can't be like that. So, simple advice of the Bhagavatam. Examples there, if your son died, you're going to naturally be lamenting and crying because it's not natural that the child dies before the parents. But we have several leelas in the Bhagavatam And in Gaur Lila, like Shiva's Thakur's son, everybody knows. In one of the big kirtans in his house, the all-night kirtans, one night his son died. So the women were crying, you know, if you've ever seen Indians when the child, anyone dies, they really cry, they get it out, you know. They even hire people, I think, to cry, special criers. So Shiva said, "You stupid, you know, be quiet. You're going to disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan." So they tried to be quiet. And then, but Lord Chaitanya said, "Something's wrong in the house. I'm not feeling the normal ecstasy of the kirtan." "No, no, everything's all right. Everything's fine. Nothing happened." And so they started the kirtan again. And again, Lord Chaitanya said, "No, it's something wrong." Finally, Shiva said, "Well, my son died, but we don't want to disturb you." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why didn't you tell me? Take me to him." So he went there, and all the women were crying quietly. Naturally, it's like 12 years old or something, you know. Very distressing thing. No matter how much spiritual knowledge someone has, it's distressing. Can't just say, you know, it's God. Some people can say that. Krishna's will. Like I went to one shop over here, and their son had died in a car accident on the Perkama Road. And they were, you know, of course, distressed. But the father asked me, "Will he be born in Vrindavan again?" You know. I said, "Well, it depends. He'd probably not. He'd just go back to Krishna. Because a sinless young boy dying in the holy dham, you know, born in the holy dham, dying in the holy dham." So then he was quite happy. Oh, good. Because they have, you know, natural understanding, but also affection. So the Lord Chaitanya went and said, "Wake up. Why are you dying?" And the boy got up and he said, "I've had so many births and I've had so many deaths and so many families, and this one, I'm finished with this one now. It's time for me to move on." Very happy. So then he died again, and everybody was happy then. They didn't lament anymore. Same thing happened with Maharaj Shitaketu. You know, he had many wives, and kings, more than anyone, they want to have a son, not just to play with, but, you know, to carry on the kingdom in the right way, to train, but no children. So Angira Muni, I think it was, came and said, "Well, I can give you a son, but he'll cause you happiness and distress. Are you sure you want?" "Yes, yes, I want. I must have." So he blessed him and he had his son. They even named it Shokamoha or something like that. And so everybody was, well, not everybody was happy, because the king forgot about all the other wives. He was totally absorbed in the mother of the child and the child. So the other wives, not being devotee women, became very envious. And they made a plot to, they poisoned the baby. So one day they found this baby dead. And then it, crying and crying and crying, and then Angira Muni came back with Narada Muni. And he said, "What happened?" He said, "My son has died." He said, "Well, I told you, you know, it'd be happiness and distress." He said, "I can bring him back to life if you want. Do you want that?" "Yes, yes, 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 yes." So whatever mantras they have, and the boy woke up, and then the mother and father were just so happy. And he said, "What is everybody so making such a big fuss about? We're your parents. This is your mother. I'm your father." And he said, "Which mother? Which father? I've had so many." You might have seen Bhakti Mark Swami's drama about many mothers. It's a very powerful drama. And so he preached to them also how the soul changes bodies and, you know, what is the big deal about one family when you've had so many families before, and all kinds of species. Not all species have families, right? Like the monkeys. I came out at night and I saw so many monkeys sleeping on the roofs of the cars. They're all mothers. They all had a baby. There's no men around. So I was thinking this. Well, I don't know. Then I thought more, but does it mean the monkeys came from the humans? Because the humans are getting like that. They just make the woman pregnant and they leave her, you know. When she's too busy with the baby to give them more sense gratification, they dump her. Or did these kind of men come from monkeys? Because there's baby monkeys everywhere, right? But the men are just going around impregnating more monkeys. Prabhupada said like 10 times a day or something, you know. That's all they do. So we have so many monkeys. Because yeah, they have unregulated sex life. Humans, if they live like that, then they have all kinds of unwanted children and single mothers. And I don't know in India, but in America there's so many single mothers, even single fathers now. Many, many babies, they don't know who their father is. Mother doesn't even know. So, just like the monkeys. So, we don't want to be like that. We want to be devotees. So this way, by discussing these things, how we're not the body, and we can understand and get out from all these things. This is stated, you know, over and over again in many, many fascinating ways throughout all scriptures. And it should convince us because of the consistency. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Puranas. Like I was reading yesterday in the second canto, those four slokas, the seed verses of the Bhagavatam, chapter 9, 33 through 36 or something. So the last verse, the purport is, I think, the longest one in the Bhagavatam. It's 13 pages in the book. It's quite a task. And those are the first four slokas that Brahma, Krishna, spoke through the heart to Lord Brahma. And then he expanded it, speaking to Narada. And then he told Narada, now you go and preach this. So Narada has been doing that since then, since before the creation practically. And, you know, the universe was there and Brahma was there, but not much else. And Brahma had to manifest everything. Things were there, but they weren't manifest. So we have the Bhagavatam that we have is 18,000 approximately slokas, but it's been in heavenly planets, it's hundreds of thousands, millions. It's unlimited. Then we have all these commentaries which are also Bhagavatam. We have Prabhupada's purports, because otherwise we won't be able to enter into it. We just read, Prabhupada wrote one letter, he said, you should memorize my purports, and then you should repeat them in your own words, you know, according to the people you're talking to. But you should know everything is based, you should memorize the purports, you should memorize so that we're speaking authoritatively, not just whimsically in our own words, but we're free to express. We don't want to just recite necessarily, but you know, different people, we have to speak in different terms, in different ways, everybody's different. That it's a challenge in our society because of the international nature of our crowds. People from different countries, you know, they perceive things in different ways. Even people with the same language, different words, same word, they take different meanings. And I know when my godbrother came, Jagadvira Prabhu, he came from England to Japan. And I never, at that time, had not dealt with Brits before. And sometimes I had to really think about what he's saying. I knew the words, but I just haven't heard them used in the same way before. And then Japanese girl there that had lived in America, she couldn't understand him at all. You know, she knew American English. And in the dictionary they have in the back, you know, a whole list of words. It's British and American. I was in Bombay, and one puffed up very young boy, and you know, with a British and the English they learned in the schools then in India was Victorian English, you know, very old English. And I said something and he said, "Would you speak English, please?" You know, I never knew there was an American accent at that time. Because America, there's no such thing as American accent, right? Who's from America? We have a Southern accent, a Texas accent, Florida accent, and, you know, a New York accent, and a Boston accent. You've got many different ones, but there's no American one. Because they're everywhere in the country, it's a little bit different. But, you know, we can communicate. It's just a matter of pronunciation mostly. There are a few phrases, you know. So, anyway, we have to learn, and we have to learn how to express things according to time and place. Sometimes we have to say something very big in a very few words, like book distributors. You don't have all day to talk to someone. You ever been to New York? I remember the first time I was in Manhattan. These businessmen, you know, they're smart guys. They said, "Why should I take this book? I'll give you 1 minute." And you have to tell them, and they'll take it if you can convince them. But they're walking, and they'll give you 1 minute. That's it. They check. They don't want to stop, you know, but they'll take it if you're convinced yourself. But, you know, in America with these different accents, I was living in California and there, you know, we talked fast. And I went to the Oklahoma or something, you know, and they say, "Slow down, boy. What are you talking about?" And even some of them, you know, we'd present the book and he'd say, "What is it?" And I'd say, "It's a book." And, "Well, I can't read." You know, the challenges are there. So you have to find the people who can read even. Some places, like Africa is like that. But by talking about Krishna, in, you know, when we talk to children, it's one way. When we talk to adults, it's another way. When we talk to scholars or scientists, you know, everything is different. Sometimes we don't want to say religion or God or anything, but we can talk about principles of Bhagavad Gita. They attract everyone. So many people are making millions of dollars, you know, presenting the karma yoga things right out of the Bhagavad Gita, but no religion, no surrender, nothing. Many motivational speakers, so on. Many Mayavadis, they study Bhagavad Gita, but they don't study the Sarva Dharma Paricchaya part. They don't study the, you know, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. They just, the Karma Yoga parts, you know, the mind. And therefore they attract people, telling them that we will teach you how to make more money, be successful, be happy in the material world, But Krishna is telling you, get out of the material world. There's no happiness. So that's why Prabhupada gave us his purports to make it very, very clear. So anyway, it's all actually very simple. And we have so much Prabhupada has given us. Krishna book, especially in the story of how that book came about, and you know, it's a miracle. Because normally you're supposed to read all the 9 cantos before you read the 10th canto. But Prabhupada managed to put in everything, your realizations of the first 9 cantos, into the book. He said, I've put the philosophy inside the Leelas. It's wonderful. And he said Krishna wrote the book. He didn't write it. So he wanted everyone to be able to know about Krishna, the person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna's wonderful Leelas. And he wanted pictures. At that time, there was a few artists. They'd never seen a picture of Krishna, practically. Maybe in America, there were a few pictures available. Very few. And, you know, universal form, and Krishna standing, you know, with his flute, maybe. A couple pictures, I remember. But Prabhupada wrote out some Leela that no one ever heard before, sent it and said, paint this. And they said, what? You know, and they had to keep asking Prabhupada, well, what about this? What about that? What do demons look like? What do demigods look like? What about Bhima? You know, all these things. And Prabhupada explained everything. And the first volume of the Krishna book had 64 paintings. Every Leela practically had its own painting. Second volume had 36. It was smaller, about half as big. So, and Prabhupada delayed the printing to put the pictures. And then he wanted that distributed profusely. And just on the basis of the pictures, then we could distribute them. These are windows of the spiritual world. And people were, oh, what's it all about? You know, how much is it? Then later we could just say George Harrison, and they would buy it. You like George Harrison? If they said yes, they'd take it. Well, no problem. If they said no, we'd say, okay, skip that person. But, so we have all, then we, you know, the whole Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it's enough to keep anybody, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita, another miraculous production. Too long of a story to go into, but miraculous. Beyond anybody's idea that what could be done material by all material standards. But the devotees did it because Prabhupada wanted it. Prabhupada said, you can do it. Guru tells you, you can do it. So they did it. So we have all that. And before we wander out into the world of so many books in Louis Bazaar, we should read all of these Prabhupada books a few times so we can sort it out and so we can understand, you know, at least the Bhagavad Gita, the first canto. You know, we have to know these things. Otherwise, we can be easily bewildered, you know, by nice talk. All right, so we'll take any comment or question. Pretty much on time for a change. Anyone? You have a microphone? Are you challenging, or are you actually inquiring today? Huh? Don't hear anything.
There
If it's auspicious, subhasa means auspicious. Yeah, because there are many reasons. It's called, what do they call it? I'll do it tomorrow. What's the word? Procrastination, yeah. But because either we're lazy or we're thinking, well, I won't be able to do it anyway, I might fail. Could be many reasons, but we had to give it up. And so you find many seminars on the internet now, how to give up procrastination. And one woman recently became very famous. She was totally distressed and hated to even get out of bed. And, you know, she'd lost everything, her husband also, their jobs, everything. And one day she just said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And she thought, she started doing that and was starting to get things done. And then her husband was doing it. But she thought, this is pretty weird, you know, I don't want to tell anybody else about it. And somehow she got on one of these TED Talks. And she got bewildered and scared, so she just didn't know what to, so she talked about that. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And she got thousands of calls. And now she's a super best-selling author and lecturing all over, you know, but, and just do it. It's advertised everywhere, and, you know, right? Just do it. Until we say, just do it, we'll never do it. She says, you know, and it's true. If we don't do it as soon as we think about it, then the mind starts telling you, well, you know, you tried before but you failed. Well, maybe this, maybe that. Maybe you should find something else to do. Maybe you should wait till the circumstances are better and you have more money and more people supporting you, or, you know, so many things. But so there's so many people know how to set your goals, strive for your goals, work for your goals, all that stuff, but they don't know what the goals are supposed to be. They're all just, you know, how to set your goal. Okay, I want to make so much money within so many years. I want to graduate. I want to do this. I want to, and how to work towards it. But they don't know the ultimate goal, so it's all a waste of time. But the techniques we can also apply. But it's just there. Krishna says, just stand and fight. Right? Everything's in the Bhagavad Gita. Stand and fight. Do what I tell you. Everything will be all right. Right? Go. Surrender. There's that famous clip that's coming up all the time. It's in Australia. Somebody asked Prabhupada, how long does it take to surrender or something? And he said, don't you read Bhagavad Gita? 1 minute! If you make up your mind, you know, even if you're so-called not fully surrendered, but if you make up your mind, like the Jesus Christians say, give your life to Jesus. You know, they still may be entangled in so many ways. So if we decide, okay, this is what I have to do. I have to aim towards surrendering everything to Krishna. I have to adjust my life. So whatever temporary goal I'm trying to achieve, which we have to do, we have to, you know, vidyam, chavidyam, chayastad. We have to cultivate ignorance and knowledge side by side. We have to learn how to do our job, how to take care of the family. You know, we can't live if we don't do that. Even if you're a brahmachari, you have to learn how to live in the ashram. You have to learn how to do something, right? But we also have to cultivate spiritual knowledge at the same time and know what is the goal, the real ultimate goal we're aiming for. Not that we're just, okay, I've made it. I wanted to have this kind of retirement situation, and I've been putting my money in this retirement home for so many years, and now I have it, and I'm ready to retire, but I just found out I have cancer and I'm going to die in a week, right? You never know. So they're not at all prepared for the real problems of life. They're not preparing for death. In America, the cemeteries in those people, they advertise, reserve your own funeral now, because your family may give you a cheap funeral. They may take all your money and just put you in a cardboard box or something. So you should buy the really good box now and buy a good spot in a prestigious cemetery. And people do. Yeah, that's right. You know, my family, I don't trust them. They're not going to care about me when I die. But you're going to die and you don't know what kind of box you're in. My uncle died very suddenly. He was never sick that I remember in his life. Young 50s. And one day he just stood up and bam, died. You know, right in front of everybody. So naturally, his wife was quite distressed. And she didn't have that much money, So she went for arranging the funeral, which is a huge business in America. Terrible, demoniac business. And she picked out a low price box and all that. And the guy said, "Oh, you don't love your husband? Bah! I'll take the high, whatever. Give me the best one, And then so much money's gone. The savings are gone, the insurance. Just for a fancy box that somebody might dig up and sell again anyway. Nobody knows. Alexander the Great, he had conquered so-called, the known world, and except India. Chandika Pandit tricked him out of there. But when he died, he had some realization. And he said, when you're carrying my body to the grave, put all my jewels and gold and everything on the road. And to show that all that money is useless. And leave my arms hanging out the side of the box to show that all my power and everything, that's also useless. And something else, I can't remember, but three things. Otherwise he was a big rotten, big murderer, everything, but he had some realization time of death. So, just do it. Okay, I want to chant my rounds. Okay, start chanting, right? Otherwise, first I better check this, blah, blah. Next thing you know, oh my God, it's 8 o'clock at night. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, right? You got to be careful. So, just do it. But make sure you're doing the right thing also. So, we all have that tendency. It's laziness. The people that get things done, they don't hesitate. When they know what has to be done, they just do it. They don't have to have meeting after meeting after meeting and have everybody giving different opinions and never deciding, what to do. Okay? So just do it. Chant the holy name. Like for prasadam, usually nobody says, "Well, maybe I'll eat later, I have to eat now," right? We want that same enthusiasm for Bhagavatam and kirtan and all these things. When we know we have to do it, like if you have to catch a train or a plane or something, you know you have to be there on time. So you do it, even if it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, if someone tells you you have to be in the temple room at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Not so easy. Okay, any other? Yeah, give her the mic. You know, I can't hear with all the noise of the fan. I usually need a translator for somebody closer. And my ears are getting very old and... Can you follow? It's loud, but you know, like I said, there's accents and everything, and it's mixed up with many noise. So. And my ears are, after staying in Vrindavan a few months, my ears are practically finished. After the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, maybe it was, I'm not very good at remembering exact years, but it was either, for me, it was either 75 or 75, yeah. So I think it was only right away, like very few volumes. And on the morning walk, a devotee asked Prabhupada, can we distribute this to the public? He said, yeah, why not? Whatever they like. He said that Krishna's like a bowl of sugar candy. And whichever you take from the top, from the bottom, the side, it's all sweet. I remember Jananda Swami said, they used to say, it's like ice cream or something, you know. You don't have to worry, like, we had in Japan a Krishna book in 4 volumes. So show them number 3 and they'd say, where's number 1? And they'd just say, it doesn't matter. This is transcendental. 1 is 3, 3 is 1, and it doesn't matter. It's so Prabhupada, the Krishna book came out. When I joined, it was in the 71, I think, and the second volume had just come. So, and Prabhupada wanted that in every home. He wanted it everywhere. And at that time, there wasn't even a Bhagavad Gita available. In the, you know, because the original one that Macmillan made was out of stock, so it wasn't in the bookshops. And the BBT one hadn't come out yet. You know, the Macmillan, first it was Macmillan, but that was 72 that the whole Bhagavad Gita came out. So it doesn't matter. In fact, you know, they say that, you know, because Prabhupada said Gita is basic, and then Bhagavatam is graduate and Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate. But Bhaktisiddhanta said that many people reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but no one can understand Srimad Bhagavatam unless they read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if we're going to do a systematic study, then it's recommended you start with the first canto and you go through. But, you know, when the books were coming out, that was the heyday of book distribution. And every time a new volume came out, we would forget to even save one, just distribute all of them. All of a sudden, oh my God, we don't have one in the temple. You know, and that was, you know, different cantos coming one after another. Every month or two, we're getting a new one. And we just read it, distribute it, and didn't even think to save one. And people were buying any canto, you know, because it's all Krishna, it's all Prabhupada, and, you know, whatever they connect with, they're going to get benefit, you know. Some people get, we can't discriminate, but we can read anywhere, but if we're going to do a systematic study, then it's good to read through it, you know. But everybody has their own style, you know. Some people just read Bhagavad Gita from one to end over and over again. Some people just open it up and read wherever they want, wherever it falls. So we shouldn't get hung up with all that. Some say, to get really far out, that Prabhupada books are too hard. And first you have to read my Guru Maharaj's book first. We had to give that. Then we can give him Bhagavad Gita. No. Okay. When you meet someone, that may be their only time in their life, you know, they meet a devotee. So we want to give them... Other books are okay if they're, you know, real commentaries on it, but we want to give them the Bhagavad Gita is for everybody. Young children can read it. Big scholars can read Prabhupada. Prabhupada's writing is so amazing that, because Krishna wrote, he said, Prabhupada read his own books. He said, I want to see what Krishna has written. Yeah. So it's amazing. It, you know, a 12-year-old kid can read it and really like it, and a big Sanskrit scholar can read it and think, wow, this is amazing. This such amazing depth of Sanskrit and the right words and everything. Because it's Krishna. Krishna will, reveal himself to anyone if they're ready from any angle of vision. Right? Is that all right? Okay. For ourselves, you know, like Prabhupada did say, if you want to do a systematic study, it's very good to start from first canto and read all the way through. But like when, after Prakrit heard the whole Bhagavatam, he was still a little time left until his time was up. And his mother came and said, you got to tell me what you just heard. And he said, there's no time for it. But then he spoke the Brihad Bhagavatamrita to his mother, which is not as long. And we might say, well, this is not in the Bhagavatam that we read, but it's because we didn't see it. You know, we don't understand it. But the Bhagavatam, and Sukadev may have heard much more than we have recorded. We don't know. Right? Because we get what's okay for us. But then we get the commentaries of the great acharyas, and Prabhupada condensed all the great acharyas' comments into his purports, miraculously. And Prabhupada said sometimes it took him 3 days to think of one word. You know, he was so concerned that everybody in the world could get these books and read them. And now we have so many great devotees explaining them in so many ways and commenting, and, you know, as long as it's in line. But in order to know what's in line, we need to know the basics to start, right? So Prabhupada always stressed, read the books, read the books, read the books. Rascals say you don't need the books, you just listen to me, right? There was a famous so-called incarnation back in the 70s. He said, books are for Kali Yuga, which is true. But now, because I'm here, it's Satya Yuga, so you don't need any books. Because he was talking so much nonsense, if anybody read the Bhagavad Gita, they would know that he was speaking so much nonsense. But he was always saying, Bhagavad Gita says this, Bhagavad Gita that. You know. But they never read it. We would sell books outside his programs, and when they caught on, they came and announced, don't take those books, get inside, don't take those books. And he was supposed to be Krishna. So the innocent people were buying the books, and this is Krishna, he's Krishna, this is Krishna's book. But they said, don't buy the book, don't buy the book, get inside. So read something, whatever you can find, get your hands on, read it. Because Krishna is the beginning, middle, and the end. Right? Hare Krishna. Okay? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai.